This is Clayton for the Cashflow Show in association with Podcast Radio Business. We're joined by Chris Babin, host of Escape to the Country, but also host of the Channel 4 program, Aldi's Next Big Thing. Thank you for joining us, Chris.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
A lot of people will think to themselves, Aldi, I know that, that's a supermarket. But this Next Big Thing TV program, are they moving from adverts into taking over the airwaves? And what's your involvement?
Okay, so yeah, I mean, obviously, it's the second series of Aldi's Next Big Thing, which is on tonight. I'm sort of like half presenter, half judge type role. There's obviously Anita Rani, there's myself, and then there's Julie Ashfield, who's the managing director of buying of all Aldi stores. So yeah, listen, it's obviously, you know, about the Aldi, the supermarket and their journey, but it's not like an advert. It's more about the suppliers. It's more about seeing what goes into making these products. It's more about sort of, you know, sort of a peek behind the curtain of what's involved in the supermarkets and how they decide what's on their shelves. You know, how do the products come to be on the shelves and what's involved in it? So it's, you know, it is obviously all under the banner of Aldi, but it's I think it's quite rich and there's a lot to it. So yeah, it's not just like a sort of, you know, hour long advert of what's in Aldi stores.
So in your opinion, what role do shows like Aldi's Next Big Thing play in supporting and promoting local and artisanal, food producers?
I've struggled with that word a lot over the series as well. Don't worry. I've pronounced it every which way. it does a lot. It does an awful lot. I mean, obviously, if we work backwards, you know, obviously the winner is amazing. You know, what it does for their business is totally transformational. You know, it can put them just in a completely different league. So that's the winner. But if you go back through every, you know, all of our wonderful suppliers that are on the show, it gives them a chance to shine. It shows their products off. It shows, you know, a bit about them and their story. So that's great. That's great publicity for them. But then if you take another step back from that, actually, hopefully what it does is highlight how hard and how much goes into making these artisan products. So when you pick up a jar of pickle or chutney or a sausage roll in your local farmer's market or delicatessen or whatever it might be, you might pause for a second and go, do you know what? I bet there's an awful lot behind this product, and I bet there's a lot of sacrifice, and I bet there's a lot of hard work, and I bet there's a lot of effort, and I bet there's a lot of tears and all of that, you know. So if we can show how hard, you know, all of these wonderful suppliers, you know, are working to make these products, I think that's quite nice. I think we all have to have an understanding of what's involved in food, and you know, and food waste is still a big problem in this country as well. So actually, hopefully in some small way, it highlights, you know, how much effort goes in, and hopefully in some way makes us think twice before we sort of waste food as well. So I think it does a lot to highlight a lot of different things.
I read somewhere that you were a former greengrocer. Is this true?
It is true. Yeah, the naked the naked greengrocer.
How do you think small food and drink businesses benefit from opportunities like this? Because winning this contract, this is not about getting your name out there, it's putting you on the map.
Completely. Yeah. I mean, revolutionary. To win, I mean, it's unheard of for the sort of artisan suppliers of this size to meet with a supermarket buyer is nigh on impossible, almost unheard of. But for them to sit in front of the managing director of buying in Julie Ashfield, it's impossible. You know, it's impossible in any other circumstance for them to get, you know, a face-to-face meeting with Julie would be, it's like a meeting with the Pope. I mean, it's impossible. So it's massive. It's huge. And then obviously, you know, to go from making 300 or 400 of a specific product to be asked to make 300 or 400,000, you know, it's extraordinary. You know, it's an absolute game changer. I mean, I use the analogy, it's like playing for, you know, it's like playing Sunday League football, and then suddenly you've got a chance to play in the FA Cup final, and then you might go on to win it. You know, I mean, it's just bonkers. It's completely, you know, it's very, very unique, and it's brilliant. Yeah, it's great.
Before we got into the conversation here, I was talking to some of your colleagues, and we were discussing the difficulty sometimes is not coming up with a good product, a good chutney or a good sausage roll. It's the fact of what you need to do to move from your kitchen to maybe a bigger kitchen to scaling that up to hundreds of thousands of different sausage rolls or different chutneys.
Yeah, it's very complicated. It's a real balancing act. I think there's lots of challenges at each individual section of a business. You know, I think the creation and the starting is very difficult. It takes a lot of bravery. It will take some investment or some money in the beginning. It may need you to sort of come away from your comfort zone, or come out of your comfort zone and leave behind a job or whatever, you know, security, etc. So I think that's difficult. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Then the other big problem you have is in that scale. And some products lend themselves to that better than others. I think so. You've got to take into consideration the shelf life of a product. But then even if it's got a long shelf life and that gives you a bit of luxury in terms of time to make more and more and more and sort of stockpile, you know, storing stuff costs money. You know, you need warehouses, you need chilling facilities, you need, you know, you're in a different realm in terms of transportation. You know, you may have delivered all your orders on a bike or on the bus or in a little van, you know, and now you're looking at Arctic lorries, you know, and you know, accessibility issues and storage issues and all of that. But you're right. But if we look at something of a shorter shelf life, then you're in a whole completely different ball game there. So then you've got two choices. You either, you know, and then you've got the dilemma of retaining control of production or inviting a third party, you know, supplier, producer, manufacturer to work alongside you. Some suppliers struggle with that idea because they feel like they're losing control of the product. Some products are more scalable than others. So I'll give you one example. We had Pastry Peddler on last year on Series 1, who made the most amazing pastries I think I've ever eaten in my entire life. They are magnificent, but you couldn't make them on a large scale. It was impossible to replicate. You could get quite close to it, but like for like, you almost couldn't do it. And we've got some in this series where actually the product's amazing. It's just you physically can't. By scaling it up, it might lose some of its magic, but there are some that can retain it. So it's about which ones are which. And actually, to be fair to Julie and her team, they work alongside the suppliers, and there's a bit of hand holding and a bit of help available for the scaling up. But that's part of it. You know, part of what we have to do is check viability and sustainability. And also what suppliers have to be careful of is, you know, you don't want to go and expand and become huge on the back of an order that may or may not continue to be there in the future. So you have to grow sustainably as well. You know, you can't go from you know, nothing to everything overnight. You have to be careful. There's a lot in it. It's quite complicated. It's a very finely balanced situation.
What advice would you give to aspiring food entrepreneurs based on your experiences and observations from working on the show?
Really believe in your product and love it, then it should all fall into place. That isn't always the case. There are some amazing people and some amazing products that haven't made it and haven't stood the test of time through no fault of their own. You know, you need a bit of luck as well. But yeah, it's not 9 to 5, it's 24/7, you know, it's got to be a labor of love. You've got to love what you do and be prepared for some ups and downs, because the highs are high, but the lows are low, and it can be very lonely. It can be really hard, which is why I love this show, because actually I know that almost every one of our suppliers would have probably sat down around a kitchen table with their head in their hands at some stage, you know, not necessarily, you know, shedding a tear or metaphorically or literally, but just going, what have I done? Why? You know, and then to see them on telly and get that moment of, you know, recognition and publicity and chance to shine. I think it's so lovely, because it is so hard. You know, I had a greengrocer's and I was working 100 hours a week. You know, it's incredible, and not taking holidays and, you know, working weekends and missing all sorts of manner of birthdays and barbecues and weddings and holidays and all of that sort of stuff. You know, so be prepared for some hard work, but it is rewarding and it is lovely. And if you have a product that you truly believe in, then go for it. And I wish you the best of luck. And hopefully I'll see you on Audi's Next Big Thing Series 3.
Most definitely. So with all that in mind, how would people be able to find out about the show and ultimately watch the show?
On Channel 4, starting tonight at 8 o'clock. So it's on for the next sort of six Tuesdays at 8 p.m. on Channel 4. Each episode is a different category. So tonight on the 2nd of April, we start with dinners. Then on the 9th of April, we have bakery. 16th of April, we have party. 23rd of April, confectionery. 30th of April, world food. And then we have healthy and wholesome on our final in the 7th of May. Each episode is a standalone. So there is one winner in each episode. And then the day after transmission, so the day after the show goes out, you can go into an Aldi store and buy the winning product and try it for yourself, which I think is quite unique to this show. It's not very often you can do that. Catch up on series one as well, because you might see some of the suppliers still in Aldi. They're continual suppliers now. So they really have taken that sustainable step forward to become a supermarket supplier.
So Chris Bavin of Aldi's Next Big Thing, thank you for joining us on the Cashflow Show in association with Podcast Radio Business.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.